Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshaman. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahima. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna He. Krishna, 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 Hare. Krishna, 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 Rakshaman. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshaman. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahima. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna He. Krishna, 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 Hare. Krishna, 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 Rakshaman. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshaman. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahima. So we will continue our reading from Krishna book, chapter 2. Prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. Okay, we got it up there. So there is this one nice verse we can chant before we start reading. It's right there in the preface of the Krishna book, which is very nice words to start reading Krishna book with a good meditation, with a good intention. So those who know, they can chant after me. Nivritta tarse rupgiya manad bhavo shuddha shrotra mano bhiramat kautma shloka gunanu vadad puman virajeta vina pashugnan. So this verse actually, it says, one who hears the pastimes of Lord Krishna, they can become free from all kinds of material hankerings. And those who don't hear, they remain entrapped in those hankerings. So there's some issues with the screen, but I'll just start reading. So continuing from where Bhrigupati Prabhu completed yesterday, starts with meditation means concentration upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Lotus feet indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are impersonalists do not recognize the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, their object of meditation is something impersonal. The demigods express their mature verdict that persons who are interested in meditating on something void or impersonal cannot cross over the ocean of nations. Such persons are simply imagining that they have become liberated. O lotus-eyed Lord, their intelligence is contaminated because they fail to meditate upon the lotus feet of your Lordship. As a result of this neglectful activity, the impersonalists fall down again into the material way of conditioned life. Although they may temporarily rise to the point of impersonal realization. Impersonalists undergo severe austerities and penances to merge themselves into the Brahman effulgence or impersonal Brahman existence. But their minds are not free from material contamination. They have simply tried to negate the material ways of thinking. That does not mean that they have become liberated. Thus, they fall down. So this is a demigod still continuing the prayers. And they are raising this point that those who do not meditate on the form of the Lord, starting with the feet, it's always compared to like lotus flower, just apparently that's the most beautiful thing in the material world. And it gives us a little hint of how beautiful this form of the Lord can be. So in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, he composes many beautiful prayers describing how this form looks like. Some of the prayers we sing every morning here. In the Bhagavad Gita it is stated that the impersonalist has to undergo great tribulation in realizing his ultimate goal. At the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also stated that without devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve liberation from the bondage of fruitive activities. The statement of Lord Krishna is there in the Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. The statement of the great sage Narada is there. And here also the demigods confirm it. So we can see it's not only just one person. There are so many different personalities who are saying these same things. And that's how we can confirm these Vedic truths. They are stated in different scriptures. That's how many people verify what these scriptures are saying, because they correlate and they confirm these truths. Persons who have not taken to devotional service are understood to have come short of the ultimate purpose of knowledge and are not favored by your grace. The impersonalists simply think that they are liberated, but actually they have no feeling for the personality of Godhead, because they think that when Krishna comes into the material world, he accepts a material body. They therefore overlook the transcendental body of Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Avjananti Mamudha. In spite of conquering material lust and rising to the point of liberation, the impersonalists fall down. If they are engaged just in knowing things for the sake of knowledge and do not take to the devotional service of the Lord, they cannot achieve the desired result. Their achievement is the trouble they take, and that is all. It's one verse that I found very relevant to this is, it's in a conversation between Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras, and King Prithu. So King Prithu, he is actually like a Shakti Avesh Avatar. And they are having a discussion. So Sanat Kumara is saying this, is recommending engaging in devotional service. I'll just read this verse. Yat pad pankaja palas vilas bhaktaya karma shyam grithitam udgrathayanti santa tadvan arikta matayo yatyo piruddha shroto ganastamarnam bhaj vasudevam. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-noted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives many more beautiful insights, so you can read it later. It is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that to realize Brahman identification is not all. Brahman identification may help one become joyful without material attachment or detachment and to achieve the platform of equanimity. But after this stage, one has to take to devotional service. When one takes to devotional service after being elevated to the platform of Brahman realization, he is then admitted into the spiritual kingdom for permanent residence in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the result of devotional service. Those who are devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never fall down like the impersonalists. Even if the devotees fall down, they remain affectionately attached to their Lord. They can meet all kinds of obstacles on the path of devotional service and freely without any fear, they can surmount such obstacles. Because of their surrender, they are certain that Krishna will always protect them. As it is promised by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, my devotees are never vanquished. Actually, this verse, Krishna asks Arjuna to say this verse. And I was listening to a talk and I heard that the reason Krishna asked Arjuna to say this is because many people think Krishna can change his mind. But when Arjuna says this, everyone knows, because Krishna always does what the devotees say. And that's one of the reasons I have heard that Krishna asked Arjuna to say this verse. Our dear Lord, the demigods continued, you have appeared in your original eternal form of unalloyed goodness for the welfare of all living entities within this material world. Taking advantage of your appearance, all of them can now very easily understand the nature and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons who belong to the four divisions of the social order, the brahmachari, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, can all take advantage of your appearance. Dear Lord, husband of the goddess of fortune, devotees who are dovetailed in your service do not fall down from their high position like the impersonalists. Being protected by you, the devotees are able to traverse over the heads of many of Maya's commanders-in-chief, who can always put stumbling blocks on the path of liberation. Dear Lord, you appear in your eternal transcendental form for the benefit of the living entities so that they can see you face to face and offer their worshipful sacrifices by ritualistic performances of the Vedas, mystic meditation, and devotional service as recommended in the scriptures. Dear Lord, if you did not appear in your eternal transcendental form, full of bliss and knowledge, a form which can eradicate all kinds of speculative ignorance about your position, then all people would simply speculate about you according to their respective modes of material nature. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 4, Krishna actually tells Arjuna, and he was telling him that, I remember all the previous births we have taken and you were there also, but you don't remember. So it's mentioned that the Arjuna could not remember because he was changing body. But Krishna, he's always coming in his original eternal form, so he can remember past, present and future. That's in chapter 4 in the Gita. The appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his mode of material nature. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest person. Therefore, a section of religionists imagine that God must be very old, and therefore they depict a form of the Lord as a very old man. But in the same Brahma Samhita, that is contradicted. Although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has his eternal form as a fresh youth. The exact word used in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam are Vijnanam Agyan Bhida Pimarjanam. Vijnanam means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijnanam is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of disciplic succession, as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita is Vijnanam as realized by
Brahma's transcendental experience. And in that way, he presented the form and the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. This knowledge is Ajnana Bidha Pamarjanam, that which can smash all kinds of speculation in ignorance. People are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form and sometimes he has form, according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is Vijnanam, scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. There is no doubt about it. Krishna's form, Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is said that this Vijnanam is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore, without your appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither Ajnana Bidha Pimarjanam, destruction of the nations of speculative knowledge, nor Vijnanam would be realized. In other words, your appearance will vanquish the ignorance of speculative knowledge and establish the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma. Men influenced by the three modes of material nature imagine their own God according to the modes of material nature. In this way, God is presented in various ways, but your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. Krishna actually talks about in the chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita, where he explains there are various kinds of faiths, Trivida Bhavati Shraddha. So there he explains why people worship different types of gods. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts the form of matter in the mode of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayan is transcendental to any material idea. Can anyone remember any verse which kind of substantiates this point? Yeah, that's a good one. There is one in Bhagavad Gita also. No. That one is pretty close, but there is this one which Krishna spoke personally to Arjuna. This is 4:6. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim svam adhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. So Krishna comes by his own internal potency. He doesn't take a material form. That's what many impersonalists think, that when he comes here, he takes a form. So that's why they don't meditate on the form. And they also think that, you know, when they are liberated, they can merge in the form of the Lord and they can just become one. That's what their idea is. So, actually, the form of Krishna or Narayan is transcendental to any material idea. Even the greatest impersonalist, Shankaracharya, has admitted, Narayana pro avyaktat. The material creation is caused by the avyakta, impersonal manifestation of matter, or the known phenomenal total reservoir of water. But Krishna is transcendental to that material conception. That is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam as Vishuddha Sattva, or transcendental goodness. He does not belong to the material mode of goodness, and he is above the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental, eternal status of bliss and knowledge. Dear Lord, when you appear in your different incarnations, you take different names and forms according to different situations. Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyama Sundar because of your transcendental beauty. Shyama means blackish, yet it is said that you are more beautiful than thousands of cupids. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya. Although you appear in a color which is compared to the blackish cloud, because you are the transcendental absolute, your beauty is many, many times more attractive than the delicate body of Cupid. Sometimes you are called Giridhari because you lifted the hill known as Govardhan. You are sometimes called Nanda Nandan or Vasudev or Devaki Nandan because you appear as the son of Maharaj Nanda or Vasudev or Devaki. Impersonalists think that your many names or forms are given according to a particular type of work and quality because they accept you from the position of a material observer. Our dear Lord, the way of undergoing understanding is not to study your absolute nature, form and activities by mental speculation. One must engage himself in devotional service. Then one can understand your absolute nature and your transcendental form, name and qualities. Actually, only a person who has a little taste for the service of your lotus feet can understand your transcendental nature or form and qualities. Others may go on speculating for millions of years, but it is not possible for them to understand even a single part of your actual position. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by the non-devotees because there is a curtain of yoga maya which covers Krishna's actual features. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, the Lord says, I am not exposed to anyone and everyone. When Krishna came, he was actually present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and everyone saw him, but not everyone could understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, everyone who died in his presence attained complete liberation from material bondage and was transferred to the spiritual world. O Lord, the impersonalists or non-devotees cannot understand that your name is identical with your form. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his name and his actual form. In the material world, there is a difference between form and name. The mango fruit is different from the name of the mango. One cannot taste the mango fruit simply by chanting mango, mango, mango. But the devotee who knows that there is no difference between the name and the form of the Lord chants Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and realizes that he is always in Krishna's company. We can see when we hear Prabhupada chant japa, or many times he would sing some bhajan and he would like totally go in a trance. So devotees who have that kind of consciousness, they can understand what it means. But of course, just by hearing this, we can also realize these facts. For persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes. Such persons can simply think of the pastimes of the Lord and get full benefit. Since there is no difference between the transcendental name and form of the Lord, There is no difference between the transcendental pastimes and the form of the Lord. For those who are less intelligent, like women, laborers, or the mercantile class, the great sage Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Krishna is present in his different activities. The Mahabharata is history, and simply by studying, hearing, and memorizing the transcendental activities of Krishna recounted therein, the less intelligent can also gradually rise to the standard of pure devotees. The pure devotees who are always absorbed in the thought of the transcendental lotus feet of Krishna and who are always engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness are never to be considered to be in the material world. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that those who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness with body, mind and activities are to be considered liberated even within this body. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord have already transcended the material position. Krishna appears in order to give a chance to both the devotees and the non-devotees for realization of the ultimate goal of life. The devotees get the direct chance to see Him and worship Him. Those who are not on that platform get the chance to become acquainted with His activities and thus become elevated to the same position. Our dear Lord, O Supreme Controller, when You appear on earth, all the demons like Kamsa and Jarasandha will be vanquished and all good fortune will be ushered into the world. When You walk on the globe, Your lotus feet will impress on the ground the marks of Your souls, such as the flag, the trident, and the thunderbolt. Thus You will grace both the earth and us on the heavenly planets. Who shall see those marks? O dear Lord, the demigods continued, You are unborn. Therefore, we do not find any reason for Your appearance other than for Your pleasurable pastimes. Although the reason for the appearance of the Lord is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, He descends just to give protection to the devotees and vanquish the non-devotees. Actually, He descends for His pleasure meeting with the devotees, not really to vanquish the non-devotees. The non-devotees can be vanquished simply by one kick of material nature. This is Prabhupada's ecstasy. The non-devotees can be vanquished simply by one kick of material nature. The actions and reactions of material nature, creation, maintenance and annihilation are being carried out automatically. But simply by taking shelter of Your holy name, the devotees are fully protected, because Your holy name and Your personality are known different. The devotees and the annihilation, the protection of the devotees and the annihilation of the known devotees are actually not the business of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When He descends, it is just for His transcendental pleasure. There cannot be any other reason for His appearance. Our dear Lord, You are appearing as the best of the Yadu dynasty, and we are offering our respectful, humble obeisances unto Your lotus feet. Before this appearance, You also appeared as the fish incarnation, as the horse incarnation, as the tortoise incarnation, as the half-man, half-lion incarnation, as the boar incarnation, as the swan incarnation, as King Ramachandra, as Parashurama, and as many other incarnations. You appeared just to protect the devotees. And we request you in your present appearance as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself to give us similar protection all over the three worlds and remove all obstacles for the peaceful execution of our lives. Now they are praying to Mother Devaki. Dear Mother Devaki, within your womb is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing along with all His plenary expansions. He is the original Personality of Godhead appearing for our welfare. Therefore, you should not be afraid of your brother, the King of Bhoja. Your son, Lord Krishna, who is the original Personality of Godhead, will appear for the protection of the pious Yadu dynasty. The Lord is appearing not alone, but accompanied by His immediate plenary portion, Baladeva. Devaki was very much afraid of her brother Kamsa because he had already killed so many of her children. So she was very anxious about Krishna. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that in order to pacify Devaki, all the demigods, along with their wives, used to visit her to encourage her not to be afraid that her son would be killed by Kamsa. Krishna, who was within her womb, was to appear not only to diminish the burden of the world, but specifically to protect the interests of the Yadu dynasty, and certainly to protect Devaki and Vasudev. It is understood that Krishna had been transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki, and from there to her womb. Thus, Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was worshipable for all the demigods. After thus worshipping the transcendental form of the Lord, all the demigods with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva placed in front departed for their heavenly abodes. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second chapter of Krishna, prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. Krishna Bhukki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.